A.
Welcome to 10-11-12. Hey, everybody. Kate Delaney, America Tonight. All the conversation is about debate, debate, debate. The big one, the VP's doing it in Kentucky. Ahead of that, what's going to come out of the debate? Any momentum, a little bit of nothing, or just a better glimpse of what Paul Ryan might have to offer going up against the seasoned veteran, the Lion, who sometimes puts his foot in his mouth, Joe Biden, who definitely knows how to debate because he's had to do it so many times. But Ryan is the future of the conservative movement. So to see him in a situation where he's knocking down a bunch of really tough questions and the chance for rebuttal could be pretty interesting. Of course, he's a career politician starting in his 20s. He was elected to Congress, so he's no novice, certainly, to this either. When it comes to Libya, we just really aren't getting the answers, I guess, that we want. And the saddest thing of all, as this is played out on the Hill, is at a hearing on Wednesday, the fact that you had two security officers saying that they were butting heads with higher-ups all along the way to try to secure more staffing for that consulate in Benghazi, when there had been requests to do that both in March and in the middle of the summer in July, and it fell on deaf ears. The State Department didn't listen. They didn't put more security there, knowing that they had had security incidents, hundreds of them, in fact, before the Libya strike. The State Department is denying, or has concluded, that they deny that they concluded that the film, the crazy film on the Prophet Muhammad that was all of 14 minutes long, was what sparked the consulate attack in Libya. But, of course, that was the first thing that we heard, and this was on September 11th, the 11th anniversary of September 11th, and it's just darn sad is what it is, that there is this losing battle that was going on that could have maybe prevented what had happened there. For goodness sake, if we're going to put Americans in that position, tell them we really need them there in Libya, because, boy, it's a mess. It's a hornet's nest. So we got you there, and we got your back, though. We got your back. We didn't have their back in any way, shape, or form, so imagine how easy it would have been to take the people out that ultimately went down, which was four, and there were also others who were injured in that. When you look at the pictures, it looks like a burned-out house. It looks like a giant house that was just burned down to the ground on purpose, so you can imagine how hellish that was when for hours that fighting was going on. Jay Carney, the White House spokesperson, had this to say about the security issue and some other things when it comes to Libya.
And there's no question that the security was not enough to prevent that tragedy from happening. People who, on the night of an attack or the day after, claim they know all the facts without making clear that what we know is based on preliminary information aren't being straight. And they're, in some cases, trying to politicize a situation that should not be politicized. I think that's what the president was getting at. What happened in Benghazi was a tragedy, and it was that there was not security enough to protect those four Americans.
Certainly there wasn't, and boy, they asked for it, and that's, the, as I said, the biggest strategy that was missed along the way that should have happened. They should have had enough security to cover them off, especially in a consulate. As a result, there were a lot of polls asking about Libya. The Fox News poll showed that 53% say Obama not only failed on the economy, but the stuff with Libya is very, very troubling. In the end, is this something that will have people voting in a different direction? I think it's a combination of things. If there's going to be people who switch allegiances, in other words, are frustrated by the 4 years that they've had with Obama, It would have to be a combination. I don't think Libya would send someone completely over the edge, even though it is incredibly frustrating and ridiculous that that happened. And forget covering up and figuring out timelines and what was said in the beginning and all that other nonsense. I think the security thing is the most troubling. But here's what the poll showed. 52% of likely voters think the Obama administration has mostly succeeded at making the country safer, but that was the only positive thing. 53% think the administration has mostly failed at creating new jobs. Another 53% feel that they failed on growing the economy. As far as a few other things, Libya included, they feel as though the ball was dropped on those September 11th attacks in Libya. And as I said, is this something that sinks Obama, where you're talking about 37% of voters approving how he dealt with that situation and 46% disapproving and 17% unsure? I don't know that that tanks him. I think it's a combination of things, and the White House and the lack of response for the security probably all gets thrown into it. To me, the biggest thing when we're sitting here watching and trying to read the tea leaves and looking into eight magic eight balls and talking to the neighbor across the way and looking at the signs that are put out and all that other sort of stuff is how optimistic are we for the future? You know, we have talked about this, but maybe not enough. The legislative body, you still have all House members that their seats are up for grabs. And in the Senate, 33 seats. So if on the Hill they're rated so poorly, you would think it would be ripe for something different, whether it's somebody from a different party or somebody completely out of so-called left field. Because when you read that optimism for the future is at this, that looking ahead to the next 10 years, two-thirds of voters are very 33% or somewhat optimistic about the future. 26%, that's a high number, feel pessimistic. 12% who are very pessimistic. And you know what's interesting, although it's not a surprise when you're looking at what the voting record would be, 83% of Democrats feel optimistic, 63% of independents, how about that, because they have a big majority, and 51% of Republicans. So the Republicans not as happy as the rest at the choices that are out there. You know, don't ignore what's happening with your legislative body and your representation in Washington ultimately, and the Senate side of things too. And if for some reason you're lost on that one, you don't know who, send me an email and I can tell you that information as to what a senator or congressperson or whatever, when if you're trying to look them up and look at a voting record or whatnot, send me the heads up that you need to know who it is, and I will gladly tell you who, so that you go and you're armed and you're ready to take that vote. Although many of you listening to my voice might have done the absentee ballot thing. You might have done the early voting thing so as to not wait until Election Day to make your move. Hopefully a lot of you will make your move. It's always sad to me that we don't have more people that vote. More people voted, maybe we get back to the popular vote, things could be a little different. Hey, on the flip side, we can count. Of a pharmacist who discourages the use of most prescription drugs? Well, pharmacist Ben Fuchs is that person, and boy, is he fascinating. He's a nutritional pharmacist and skincare specialist who operates out of Boulder, Colorado, and to hear this man speak is nothing less than inspiring, because he's charismatic and makes a lot of sense. He asks, why take dangerous drugs when all your body needs to stay healthy is all natural with no side effects? Pharmacist Ben sees the human body as a healing and regenerating system, divinely designed to heal and renew itself on a moment-to-moment basis. but it needs nutrition and nutritional supplementation. Ben says you've got to be on a nutritional supplement program if you want to be healthy in 21st century America, and he wants to help people get off the toxic drug treadmill and get on a good nutritional supplement program. I support what pharmacist Ben is saying and doing to help America get healthier, and I urge you to watch and listen to Ben deliver his powerful message at your convenience. Just go to AmericaTonightTeam.com. That's AmericaTonightTeam.com.
Good day, Jim Newcomer from Midas Resources, October 10th, 2012. Gold opened this morning at $1,766.50. A one-ounce gold coin can be purchased for $1,809.99, $905 for a half ounce, or $452.50 for a quarter ounce. That's $1,809.99, $905, or $452.50.
Hi, this is Ted Anderson. Have you ever wondered why banks, stockbrokers, investment advisors won't talk about gold IRAs? Wait a sec. Gold and silver is going up while Congress is trying to settle on the next debt increase. And there's no end to this madness. That old 401k and IRA can be converted into physical gold without tax consequences. I explained this in my book, 10 Reasons to Buy Gold. Don't let time slip away. Call for your free copy today, 800-686-2237. Get away from that Washington spin and get honest answers about gold. 800-686-2237. The book is free, 800-686-2237.
Big business has discovered the preparedness market, and that makes it difficult to know where to go and who to trust. MyPatriotSupply.com is owned and operated by patriots just like you, has the best prices on storable food, non-GMO seeds, water filtration devices, home canning equipment, survival and self-reliance books, and more. MyPatriotSupply.com has old-fashioned values and the absolute best customer service in the industry. Look for the deal of the day, unique affordable survival supplies that fit anyone's budget. Get same-day shipping on all orders and free shipping on orders over $49. Call 866-229-0927, 866-229-0927, or visit MyPatriotSupply.com for emergency preparedness, self-reliance, and food independence. Shop with a name you know and a name you can trust. Before it's time to survive, it's time to prepare. MyPatriotSupply.com.
Like to call We Can Count. Yes, we can. Things always relate to numbers, don't they? My goodness, how often am I talking about numbers on this show constantly? Because we like to quantify. Oh, I'm the biggest when it comes to the quantifying department. Because if you're going to tell me how big something is, tell me how big the numbers are. Like, I keep talking about the VP debate and how many people will watch, and really, is there any emotion that could be detected from this, any momentum for either side, if there's a true winner or a true knockout, that kind of deal. And check this out. Even the Times did something on this. Biden and Sarah Palin hit almost 70 million viewers. It was the most watched VP debate, if you remember, in TV history, 69.9 to be exact. The previous record was 56.7. That was the debate between George Herbert Walker Bush and Geraldine Ferraro. Then there was the debate between Barack Obama and John McCain, and that was 52.4 million viewers. So we may see more people tuned in than we expect. It's great for the cable people and for the television networks. They have to love it, because they get the spill-off. They get decent ratings as a result of that, which they might not have gotten with whatever program that they had in place. Because those are some big numbers, you know, when you're talking about let's say, 12.8 million viewers or 13.1 million viewers, that kind of stuff, those are pretty big numbers. That definitely qualifies for a good way to start. We can count. All right, other numbers, and one of the stories I picked up earlier in the day was this 425-pound gang member who was ultimately charged with grabbing someone in the park. And I'm thinking, boy, when you think of 425 pounds, that is a whole lot of beef. 425. I'm still kind of wrapping my mind around that. He's a gang member, and he attacked and abducted a 10-year-old boy who was on his way to soccer practice. How does that happen? And the gang member is Victor Espinoza, who's 55 years old, and he's been charged with felony false imprisonment for allegedly grabbing the boy on a trail and smelling the victim's arm. That is sick. So he's going to be sentenced for committing a crime for the benefit of a criminal street gang and a prior strike because of a conviction for street terrorism in 2007. He could be sentenced to 15 years. If you could only see his picture, he is all chin, I swear. The chin coming after this kid had to be scary. Oh, I saw the picture and I thought it was a joke, actually. So that's the first thing I noticed. 15 years for that? Oh, what a dope. What was he thinking? Let me smell your arm. Oh, and for that kid to be grabbed and just probably be frightened out of his skull. The worst. I mean, really, absolutely the worst. Check this out. If I asked you this question, how old do you think Mick Jagger is? Do-do-do-do-do-do. You give up, everyone? Mick Jagger is 70 years old. Yes. The Rolling Stones are still doing concerts. They're going to play for their 50th anniversary. They're doing it. They're doing concerts. And the dates that they're playing are November 26th and 27th at London, December 15th and 16th. In Newark, New Jersey, Barclays Center in Brooklyn. They're coming, but they don't know what the dates are. And HBO has a premiere scheduled for the Stones documentary called Crossferret Hurricane, which is set for November 13th in New York. You could say that the Rolling Stones keep on ticking. Now, that's a good question is, would you pay big money to see the Rolling Stones? This is probably once-in-a-lifetime kind of stuff. You don't know if anyone's going to get sick or what else is going to happen with the Stones. But I think they're counting on people and nostalgia going back and sending them to want to go and see the Rolling Stones. And sure enough, I remember the last time that they were touring, they did get quite a few people coming out to the concerts. So even though they were older, nobody cared. It was the Rolling Stones, and, you know, that's it. Kidnapping is a scary thing, isn't it? British police are investigating whether a British man and a woman arrested on suspicion of supporting terrorism offenses in Syria were part of a group that held two veteran war journalists hostage in Syria in July. It used to be when you were running around in any kind of a war zone, and you had a sticker that said journalist or whatever, they left you alone. They didn't ask questions. So, boy, that's kind of weird, huh? And the investigation that the British police have an ongoing deal with is these two journalists that just have poof disappeared almost into thin air. You know, our government won't negotiate with terrorists because of the slippery slope. Not to say that they might not come up with some other plan, depending on who it was. But, boy, that's it used to be a no-no. It used to be you would not nab journalists. They were not fair game. They weren't fair game. You would just leave them be. you just leave them be and not worry about it, whether they what they were taking pictures of, or if they were in the middle of the war zone, and if hey, if they got accidentally shot, that's also their business. But you would never, ever, ever have touched them. And that was a no-no. That's why they marked themselves up, so that didn't happen. That did not happen. All right, this is a strange story. Glenn Beck totals his rental SUV after his daughter's wedding. He wrecked a rental at the wedding over the weekend, and he said so that my rental car got totaled this weekend at my daughter's wedding, and he tweeted that all over the place. He said that it was quite an ordeal. After the ceremony, he parked the rental SUV and a Ford Explorer and decided to go on his merry way, but unfortunately, the accident prevented that, fortunately or unfortunately, because the way it was hit, I think it would be pretty tough to drive. I think you'd have a hard time with that. How about this man wearing body armor arrested with luggage, a luggage full of weapons at LAX? I guess he thought he might have to defend himself or people on the plane, so by golly, he was going to go in the safest, most secure possible way that he could travel, and the way to do that was to night up. I mean, you see the outfit and you can hardly believe the disconnect. He's a Boston guy, and he went through Los Angeles Airport, and the Customs and Border Protection officer found a smoke grenade and several weapons in his checked luggage, and he's facing a federal charge for transporting hazardous material on an airplane. Can't do that. Can't do that when you're traveling someplace else. So they found these smoke grenades. They found three leather-coated black Jack Billy clubs, a collapsible baton, and have a full face respirator, several knives, and a hatchet. So what was going on there? This is one where I would love to know the rest of the story instead of waiting to see what comes out of that. I'd love to know the rest of the story right now, actually, instead of having to wait for it. So keep your fingers crossed. We'll see. And then finally, this one. You have Lindsay Lohan and Dina Lohan. The 911 call report more problems. According to the AP, police were called to her childhood home on New York's Long Island Wednesday after hearing reports of a fight between the 26-year-old and her mother. Ugh, awful. This kid just cannot catch a break. Weekend, though, stay with us. On the flip side, dirty hospitals.
Here it comes, another cold and flu season. Get ready for it and save now during the pre-winter sale at HerbalHealer.com. Don't be without powerful natural flu fighters like elderberry power capsules. They support the immune system and they have antiviral properties. Another powerful antiviral is olive leaf capsules, highly recommended by Herbal Healer Academy. Also on sale is Physician Strength Oregacillin, a savior for the lungs. It fights bacteria, virus, and fungus. Our famous four herb capsules are a gentle liver cleanser and can be taken daily. Also featured this winter are the homeopathic detoxes, liver, kidney, lung, lymph, whole body, and brain detox on sale. And remember, as always, new customers get a free 128-page catalog with your order. Log on and hit the pre-winter specials at HerbalHealer.com. Healing the world with nature, one person at a time, since 1988.
The GCN Radio Network, providing the world with hard-hitting talk radio. GCN. Great talk radio starts here.
What's safer and cheaper than prescription drugs?
Glad you asked. The answer is Renovation Teas. Herbal remedies are much safer and much cheaper than prescription drugs. Taste great, and most importantly, herbal teas are effective and non-addictive. Renovation Tea is especially unique, and here's why. We spent years researching herbs and their beneficial properties. Renovation Teas uses only 100% organic, fair trade herbs. Our teas are blended towards specific ailments and health conditions, such as diabetes, blood pressure, anxiety, libido, detox, and much more. All Renovation Teas are formulated and hand-filled in Arkansas. Take care of yourself naturally, the way Mother Nature intended. Order Renovation Teas at renovationtea.com or call 870-784-3121. That's 870-784-3121. Renovation Teas. Renovate your health one bag at a time.
If you like cow's milk, you'll love camel milk.
Yes, the newest, oldest thing in the world.
Camel milk has sustained civilizations for thousands of years. Here's just one user's testimonial.
My Lyme-stricken boy developed severe allergies to nearly every food he ingested. At first, I was scared to death to try camel milk, but he had no allergic reactions of any kind, nothing. The camel milk was wondrous in healing his GI issues, and it's the one thing I can attribute to his getting out of bed after almost a year spent there. Too ill to do anything.
Camel milk is loaded with health benefits far superior to other milk, is rich in B vitamins and 3 times higher in vitamin C than cow's milk, 10 times higher in iron. Camel milk comes fresh or frozen from your trusted local family farm. Humpback Dairies of Miller, Missouri. To order, call this number, 1-417-848-7570. That's 1-417-848-7570. Call 1-417-848-7570 for camel milk, the best kept health secret ever.
Every day, nearly 3,000 families enter into foreclosure and face losing their home. If you're currently behind on your mortgage, you can still avoid foreclosure. You can save your home, but you need to act now. We're Allied State Foreclosure Services. We're experts in saving homes from foreclosure. With just one phone call to us, you can stop the foreclosure process, lower your monthly mortgage payments, and save your home. Call now. The call is free with no obligation. 1-800-597-8843. Call us if you've been threatened with foreclosure, denied loan modification, or missed a payment on your mortgage. If you've been a victim of a predatory loan or are upside down on your mortgage, even if you've lost your job and you're worried about losing your home, don't wait. Call us now and let us help you save your home. You've worked hard to build a life with your family. Let us help you keep your home. Call now before it's too late. 1-800-597-8843. 1-800-597-8843. 1-800-597-8843.
Into left field. This is trouble. It might leave the park. It is a 3-run home run for the Cardinal rookie shortstop Pete Cosma. The Cardinals are on top 4-0. Pete Cosma touches them all. Wow.
One strike on Blanco swinging away on the first pitch, and here's another bomb into deep right center field, and the Giants have taken a 3-1 lead. Right now, this is the worst-case scenario surrounding Mike Leake. He has given up 2 home runs in as many innings, and the Giants have taken a 3-1 lead here in the second inning. Wow.
A-Rod just 3-for-18, lifetime against Johnson, struck out against him in game 2, 0-for-3, 2 strikeouts tonight, 1-for-12, 7 strikeouts in the series. 1-0 to Ibanez, a swing and a belt, right center, gone! The pitch, a swing and a fly ball, way back, he has won it for the New York Yankees! Thank you.
score three runs in the bottom of the ninth, stunning the Tigers 4-3, a decisive fifth game. I love it in the American League Division Series. Go A's! They are my adopted team. They rock. And the nation familiar with the A's, due to the success of a little money called, a little movie called Moneyball. And the struggles that the A's have had, this could be their time. Who knows? At least they're getting some good mojo. The Yankees, you either love them or you hate the Yankees, but there was high drama with the Yankees, too. I just went back and re-racked that since I didn't see that game live. And one of my favorite former Phillies was the hero, Raul Ibanez, with the he was the guy who propels them into that win. Again, he is the man with the walk-off win in 12. It took 12 over the A's in Game 3. You know, they somehow they get these players, and it works out. And so Raul Ibanez was the man with a couple of big swings that make a difference. And it was a, you know, a stunner, the 3-2 in 12 for a 2-1 lead in their best of five series. So, you know, the people that are getting the big bucks, like A-Rod, once again slumping. It's the playoffs, so he must be slumping so much for being a power hitter. But, you know, Ibanez is the guy that they picked up that has really helped him out in a tight spot. So this game was in New York, and the Yankee fans went absolutely bonkers in the end. Matt, you were watching a lot of baseball today, and it's a couple of exciting games for sure.
Yeah, the early games not so much, but the late games tonight were definitely extremely entertaining. I mean, I hate the Yankees, so that Orioles game didn't go so well for me, and it was kind of an incredible just watching Ibanez. Like, first of all, the move by Girardi to pinch hit for A-Rod,
Yeah, A-Rod.
You got to have a lot of cojones to even pull the move off like that. And then he comes through with a home run in the ninth to tie it, and then a home run in the 12th to win it. And then you have the Athletics, who, you know, they're down 3-1.
Yeah.
Facing Valverde, the Tigers' closer. They come back and win it with three runs in the ninth inning. So, great games, and it sets up for an exciting Thursday. There's a sports Thursday happening tomorrow. You got four MLB playoff games. All of them are elimination games. And you also have a little NFL football game, too, that is not going to get quite the headlines it probably would have as of 2 days ago.
Yeah, not with those game fives that you're talking about. And, you know, it's so cool. San Francisco, they had an offensive juggernaut. So they've got a game five that's going to happen there against the Reds. And, you know, it's exciting. It's, you know, St. Louis, 2-1 lead over the Nationals. And, you know, as I said, and as Matt described, even better, the historic home runs for the Yankees. He comes through in the clutch, and the excitement of the Oakland A's doing the improbable, it seems, to the Tigers. So big things happen in Major League Baseball.
Hey, the Yankees team is just kind of ridiculous, because if you look at their team, it probably looks identical to somebody's 2004 fantasy baseball squad. You got Raul Ibanez, Ichiro, Eric Chavez, A-Rod, Jeter, Cano, like Swisher. Like, it's like they have this aging lineup of people from the early millennium, and it was just, I don't know. It's kind of ridiculous, and I'm interested to see what happens with A-Rod if he possibly gets benched. I don't know if he would, but I don't know. It's kind of hard to keep throwing him out there with the way he's hitting.
Oh, he's terrible. That's his postseason blues.
And they've got five more years and $114 million left on that contract.
I know. That's A-Rod. I saw it when he was stuck with the Texas Rangers and how they laughed at what they signed him to, the, you know, $240, thinking, oh, that's no big deal. Someone else will surpass. And, of course, nobody ever did. There's just absolutely no way that he was worth that kind of money to begin with, and Matt's right. They're going to be stuck with that wrapped around their necks now for the rest of that contract. It's just, you know, crazy, 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 crazy. The Nail the Score deal, for all of you listening, remember, we've got Nail the Score coming up in our next hour. So you can participate in Nail the Score. It's it should be a lot of fun. We got that Thursday night game, Pittsburgh and Tennessee. But as Matt said, not going to get the headlines because of all the Major League Baseball action. How about from the cycling world, Lance Armstrong, kick 'em when you're up, kick 'em when you're down. Lance Armstrong's former teammates told investigators from the U.S. Anti-Doping Agency about one of the techniques that's used to beat the drug testing regimen. And, of course, over the years there have been a lot of ways to do that, and so many cyclists have done it. But blood transfusions, injections, that's something that's always been talked about, backdating prescriptions and tip-offs to coming tests. Some of the things that happen to make it possible to Jimmy rig the tests, if you will. Tyler Hamilton said we hid. You know, we just hid. That's a good thing. Well, look, we got a test coming up. Just hide. So the hunt for Armstrong sort of still hasn't ended, even though Armstrong's called off his fight. He's, you know, forget it. But there was a. They did a 200-page deal in the end of a 200-page decision that was backed up by hundreds of pages of documents. That's the whole Armstrong report. The U.S. Anti-Doping Agency released their findings on Lance Armstrong on Wednesday. But the biggest technique of all the things that was discussed was just ditching, just hiding. And they talked about Armstrong, who, of course, has denied doping for a very long time. And his lawyers called the USADA's investigation just a witch hunt. But he stopped contesting the allegations, and he faces being stripped of his titles. So he's stopped fighting, and he's just saying, forget it. But they say the evidence of Armstrong's doping is absolutely overwhelming, and that's a big chunk of that entire, of course, most of that report is all of that, all of the what the teammates said, all that stuff is in there, what they did to beat the tests and how they were able, you know, what they were able to do. They even talk about 1998 in a World Cycling Championship, and they talked about a UCI tester showing up unannounced and started setting up at a bed and breakfast where Armstrong's team was staying, and a team doctor went outside to their car, got a bottle of saline, smuggled it past the tester and into Armstrong's bedroom. Even a teammate, Jonathan Vaughters, told the investigators in this report, this giant report, that they had a good laugh about it, and they how he'd been able to smuggle in saline and give it to Lance right under the inspector's nose of him being there. Can you imagine? So people are still weighing in on Armstrong, but he's not fighting it. He's done. I say, why, if they didn't have any hard, cold facts, why go after him now? It's sort of one of those who cares things. I think they have an axe to grind. And when you look at Livestrong and the amount of money, boy, that Lance Armstrong has made in the whole strides for cancer, I think you'd be hard-pressed to find too many people that just want to crucify this guy, honestly. And maybe it's partially, too, because it's the time away from the sport, probably. Hey, if you want to get in touch with the show, you can always do that at americatonight.net, americatonight.net. Also, you can sign up for Twitter and Facebook, same place, just by going to the website.
Hope Healthy soils grow healthy plants. So before you plant your survival garden this year, is your soil healthy? Maximize your crisis garden soil with EM1 from Terraganics. EM1 Organic Soil Conditioner, Fertilizer Amendment, and Compost Accelerant provides healthier gardens and faster, efficient garden composting. EM1 from Terraganics.com quickly improves soil structure by increasing nutrient availability and converting organic matter into soil humus. This improves seed germination and root growth, improves plant quality, size, color, flavor, nutrient value of fruits and vegetables, and improves shelf life. And when rain is not in the forecast, no worries. EM1 improves moisture retention in soils, helping reduce drought stress. Just like you prepare all else, prepare your crisis garden for maximum yields with EM1 from Terraganics.com. Order now at TerraGanics.com or call toll-free 866-369-3678. That's 866-369-3678. Terraganics. Life's getting better.
If you owe the IRS back taxes, listen carefully. Sweeping changes to IRS policies will help more people than ever eliminate their tax debts once and for all. And now, I can help you reduce or eliminate your tax debts and end your tax nightmare. Hi, I'm Dan Pilla. I've helped thousands of people reduce and eliminate tax debts they couldn't pay. And after more than 30 years of experience dealing with the IRS, I can tell you there's no such thing as a hopeless tax case. And with the IRS's new policies, it's easier than ever to put your tax debt behind you once and for all. Call now at 800-346-6829 to learn how I can help you. You know your IRS debt will not go away by itself, but you don't have to live in fear anymore. Call 800-346-6829. Learn how I can help you eliminate wage and bank levies, release tax liens, and negotiate a settlement with the IRS that will put your tax nightmare behind you forever. Call 800-34-NO-TAX or go to taxhelponline.com. That's taxhelponline.com.
Iodine protection packs from hempusa.org are now in stock for immediate delivery worldwide. Our iodine protection packs include microplant powder, green life kelp, red palm oil, and our clear roll-on iodine that will feed the body the iodine it needs. All iodine protection packs are in stock. Save you money and ship for free in all 50 states. Visit hempusa.org or call 908-691-2608 today.
HempUSA.org has a revolutionary wonder food for detoxing the body and rebuilding the immune system.
Microplant powder can help unclog arteries and soften heart valves while removing heavy metals, virus, fungus, bacteria, and parasites. Plus, it cleans and purifies the blood, lungs, stomach, and colon. Keep your body clean with microplant powder. Visit us at HempUSA.org or call 908-691-2608 today.
If you've ever had to stay in a hospital, you know there is now a little bit of a panic about MRSA and a couple of other things that people have gotten from hospital stays. There's much more awareness of this. And if you check out Men's Health magazine, it's something that they're talking about in their latest issue. And you know, basically what it's called is the dirty truth about hospitals. And this is scary because I've spent some time seeing people going to visit people in the hospitals in the last year and a half. And everyone's aware of it and everyone's concerned about some of the things that are happening. So one of the editors from Men's Health magazine joins us now, Greg Stebbin. Hey, Greg, how are you?
Hi, Kate. It's great to be here.
You know, it is true. When you go into hospitals now, I don't know when the last time is that you were in visiting someone or going in yourself, but you see the hand sanitizers everywhere, but somebody told me, well, that doesn't even work. What do they mean by that?
Well, first of all, let me just tell you, if you're in the hospital, you don't even have to be sick in the hospital to get sick from being in the hospital.
I know.
Don't touch anything. So
yeah.
Let's just start with your, I was in the hospital about a year ago visiting a friend's dad, and, Here's the worst stuff in a hospital room for you, the visitor, or even you, the patient. You know, like, imagine going in for knee surgery and you come out with an infection. I mean, you weren't even sick to begin with. Now you are. But just think about the mattress you're laying on. Somebody before you who was sick or bleeding or oozing was using that mattress before you. The bed adjustment panel. Somebody with disgusting, dirty, sick hands kept putting their hands on that thing to adjust the bed. And so you're visiting and you lean over, oh, let me help you sit up. No, I'm not touching that thing. The privacy curtain, when they got that sick person up, they were hacking and wheezing and hawking onto the privacy curtain. Now you're in there visiting and you're bumping up against it. And what about the TV remote? I'm not touching that thing. And finally, the fifth other really disgusting thing in a hospital room, even if you're just visiting, the nurse call button. It's what everyone reaches for when they feel the worst. When they feel the worst, they're hacking and hawking up the worst germs. This is all stuff you want to be careful of when you're in the hospital, whether you're sick, whether you're having knee surgery, or whether you're just there visiting.
So maybe what if you are admitted into the hospital, what could you do? I guess you could bring a disinfectant with you, seriously, and just wipe things down.
Sure, but, you know, there's actually some other things you can do. For instance, I read this article, and here's what I did, and I encourage you, Kate, and all your listeners to do the same thing. We talk in this article about a website at hospitalcompare.hhs.gov. I'm going to say it again. Hospitalcompare, it's all one word, .hhs.gov. You go there, you put in the names of all your local hospitals, and it'll give you their infection rates. So you can actually plug in your local hospitals and know which one does the best job of fighting infection. It's not foolproof. Nothing's foolproof. But it gives you the best idea of where to go in an emergency. You know, if your kid cuts his arm or, you know, you got to rush someone off to the emergency room, look, if it's life or death, you got to go to the closest hospital. But if you have a choice and it's worth going an extra mile or two to another hospital, know which hospital to go to. Don't start doing the search in the middle of an emergency. Get the name of the best hospital now. Do what I did. Put it on the door of your refrigerator so every time you go in there to get something to eat or drink, you see the name of that hospital, and when there's an emergency, you're going to remember exactly which one is best.
Yeah, there you go. That's the best suggestion of all. And is it true, because this is one of the statistics that you sent me, how many infections are killing how many people a day, like 300? Is that right?
Yeah, this is staggering. So the statistic we uncovered was, and I'm just going to read it to you, hospital-acquired infections are killing about 300 people a day in the United States. That's a staggering number of people to die. Now, you have to take that in all its context and consequences. Obviously, some of those people are already very sick. They're already very weak. But some of those people who are getting sick or dying from infection shouldn't be dying. They should be going in and out of a hospital perfectly healthy. And there's a germ problem there that, frankly, we have to get control of.
Yeah. I had a friend that got Mercer, came into the emergency room, just had a cut, got Mercer, and almost died.
It's a terrible thing. So you need to be very vigilant about this. And let me throw out a couple of other ideas that are not obvious, but once you hear them, you'll think, yeah, that's absolutely what I should do. So for instance, you're in the hospital or a friend or a family member is in the hospital. Every time someone comes in the room, doctor, nurse, aide, it doesn't matter, before they touch you, say to them, did you wash your hands? And kind of make a joke of it. I'm kind of a germ freak. Did you wash your hands? And you know what? If you laugh about it, they'll laugh too. And it's not to say that they didn't wash their hands, but you'll just be reminding them that you are vigilant about keeping your environment clean. And most likely, your reputation will get out to the nurse's station, and they'll all know that you're paranoid about keeping things clean, and they'll probably do better to keep things clean just because you put a little effort to make them aware that it's important to you. Those kinds of little things, again, not foolproof, but they can certainly add up to keep you healthier while you're in the hospital.
Why is it that we, as you say, we have to do a better job of it, but there's no statistics kept on this, or why are we not all over this? Why isn't this a big issue? Of all the things, for goodness sake, that they testify on the Hill about, they're not looking into dirty hospitals?
Well, one of the problems is it's kind of what hospitals are required to report. So a hospital doesn't have to report an infection problem unless there's a death associated with it. So if there's no death or major illness, they don't have to report it. And if you're a hospital administrator and you think you might have a problem, but you're not legally required to report it, are you going to report it?
Mm-mm.
Probably not. That's your job on the line, and also the reputation and the financial health of your hospital. I'm not saying that's right. I'm just saying that's probably the mindset. So the problem that creates is if nobody knows how bad it is, nobody can compile statistics to really understand what's going on. And those statistics aren't just important to get to a total. They're also important because with those kinds of statistics that we should be gathering, the kind of information we should be gathering, surely researchers could look at the information itself and begin to draw some conclusions about where the problems are coming from, and that then puts us on the road to actually solving some or many of those problems.
Yeah. What about the cleaning crew? Because you see them all the time in the hospitals. Are they just doing a lickety-split job, or what's happening there?
Well, so this is a really interesting thing. There's two parts to this answer. First of all, to be fair to the cleaning crew, they're generally very low paid, and they generally don't get the training that they need. And this has consequences in a variety of places. Let's talk about the cleaning crew in an operating room and the cleaning crew in your room where you're staying. The crew in the room where you're staying just may not understand how thorough they need to be or how important it is to be thorough. And or it may be that they're understaffed and they're being pushed to clean faster and faster, and they're simply not given time to do an adequate job. That's on one hand. On the other hand, and frankly, an even scarier scenario is, now let's go into the operating room. In the good old days, you'd have surgery, and after the surgery, they could throw the scalpel into a pot of alcohol to clean it, right? You just sterile. You just throw it in some alcohol and it's sterilized. You can't do that today because so many things in the operating room are electronic, they're digital, and they're complicated. And you can't just throw them in some alcohol to clean them. They need very specific cleaning, and the cleaning staff in many hospitals is not getting the training they need to know how to clean those things. So they're actually discovering with these very high-tech tools, sometimes nobody knows how to clean the tool properly, and people are getting infections from things because bits of tissue are hiding in places that no one knew that were even there. So you've got this huge, on one hand, these electronics and these new tools are great. They're fighting infection because the kinds of surgeries we're doing are so much more sophisticated. The actual incisions and things are so much smaller and using lasers and all that. But on the other hand, the tools are so sophisticated, teaching a staff how to clean them, and then, oh, look, here's a whole new wave of tools that we have to teach them again. It just hasn't been adequately addressed yet.
Yeah, of course, you know, there's so many other things we could talk about with the hospitals, as you know. It's like, I think the scariest thing, this is the whole having dirty hospitals is frightening. But how about the stuff with leaving instruments in people, Greg? That's just as bad.
Well, and, you know, before we go on, Kate, I want to say something, and I think this is a really important point. We didn't write this article to vilify anyone.
Yeah.
We didn't write this article to say these people are bad or they're not doing their job. I think hospitals and hospital administrators have an incredibly difficult job on their hands. I think it's an uphill battle every day. I think they're doing the best they can. And many of the things we're talking about here are the kinds of things, especially in the operating room with new forms of surgical tools and digital and electronic equipment. These are new problems that nobody even anticipated. No one knew that they were a problem until they became a problem. So we don't mean to say that, you know, the people who run your hospital are bad people. They're probably great people, and what an incredibly difficult, thankless job. But you as a consumer and a healthcare participant need to be aware of things you should be doing to keep yourself and your family safe.
Yeah, perfect way to end this. As always, Greg Stebbin, it's a pleasure to talk to you and have you on the show. One of the editors of Men's Health Magazine. We'll talk to you again in the future.
It's great to be here, Kate.
I have bought a few bottles of Heart and Body Extract and have to say that it certainly does work.
That's what Jack from Michigan had to say after his experience with heart pain and what he did to treat it with Heart and Body Extract.
I actually had a huge heart flutter. I was also having some edema around my ankles and very worrisome clot in my right leg that would happen from time to time while I was trying to sleep.
Heart and Body Extract is all natural with no negative side effects. It will help repair or correct past problems associated with the heart and body circulation.
After my second bottle of Heart and Body Extract, all problems are now gone.
Order at hbextract.com or call 866-295-5305.
I ordered a third bottle of Heart and Body Extract for maintenance as I want to keep everything working.
Order Heart and Body Extract at 866-295-5305 or hbextract.com. Heart and Body Extract for a long and healthy life.